Does your reality become fantasy and your fantasy become reality? Are you a real wife or a make-believe wife? Coming up next right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You're at the right place at the right time with the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. Let me tell you, thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. We are going to have such a great time on this show. Got a great author in store for you, as well as a provocative topic. So I can't wait to get to it in just a few moments. As always, I want to thank you for your support of my books, the Sins of the Flesh series, the Michigan Sweet series, and so many others that I've written. Thank you so much for your support. To always get more information about me, simply go to my website, parkerjcole.com, and you can just browse through the bookshelf there and see what I got going on. Now, I got to tell you, I am so excited because June 21st through the 24th, I will be in La Mirada. We'll be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. It's from June 22nd, actually, through the 24th, but I'll be there a day early. And it's going to be so much fun. If you haven't registered for this conference, you're going to miss out on such a wonderful time. There are workshops galore. You're going to meet some of your favorite authors. You're going to have a chance to pitch your ideas to editors and agents and publishers. There's going to be so much going on there. And if you're in the area, if you're a fan of my books, I would love to see you. So I'll be at La Mirada this summer, June 21st through the 24th. It'll be at Biola University. So I'm really looking forward to that. So go ahead, Google in Southern California Christian Writers Conference and go ahead and register. You do not want to miss this conference. It's going to be great. As always, if you want to weigh in on our topic, you certainly can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the Queen of Tuesday Night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to this show. You're listening to The Right Stuff on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are here. I just cannot wait to delve into our book today. It sounds so fascinating. The title of the book is called The Make-Believe Wives, and it's from the author, Darlis Batchelor. And so, Darlis, without further ado, I want to introduce you. How are you doing today?
I am awesome. I am awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well today, Darlis. I'm so excited to be talking to you about your newest book. And we've been trying to get together for some time, to our listeners out there. We're trying to get together for some time. So we finally got together. I'm so excited to talk about it. But what I want to do is introduce people to you. And I could always read your bio, but let people know who you are in your own words.
Well, Parker, I am a wife, mother, and grandmother. I have one son, one grandson, and to hear my son tell it, I'm only going to have one grandson, so I have to enjoy this one. I have been an avid reader. My mother read to me from the moment I came out of her womb, is my understanding. And so I've always been an avid reader, and they say most readers are writers. I was a little surprised to find that I was a writer, but, you know, I'm enjoying the ride nonetheless. I am a very compassionate person. I love, you know, people, and I love writing good stories. I really do. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
I like how you say you didn't know you were a writer. So does your journey to being a writer, does it take some twists and turns?
It does. It does. Well, you know, I believe I was eventually I began having dreams. Let's just put it that way. I had some dreams, and they seemed to create a story, and I didn't really know what to do with it. I really just, you know, I thought, well, that's strange to have, you know, dreams over, you know, a few consecutive nights that seemed to be a continuation of a story. And then I had a situation where I quit my job. I had been working in information technology for a number of years. That's where my training, my background is in. And I quit my job because my husband and I decided that I would need to be home with our son. And so I felt like I had just hit a brick wall, because for all those years I've been going to school and working, you know, trying to get the next promotion, looking for the next job, and all of a sudden it just comes to a complete stop. And I asked God, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? And my first book, Secrets, just came to me in that moment. And I'd never written a book, and I didn't know the process. But, you know, eventually I just sat in front of the computer and just wrote what I'd been shown and what I knew. And that's kind of really how I kind of became an official writer, I suppose you would say.
I like how you mentioned that you had a dream and how that dream led you down the path you are. I think sometimes in our world, we take our dreams as if they're just, oh, just residue from the day or just something else. But I do think sometimes, not every dream, you know, but I think sometimes our dreams do have messages in them that I think that are from the Lord, that are just telling us certain things. It may be a thing about our life, about our purpose. It may be something else, but at least those dreams tell us something about ourselves, and we shouldn't completely disregard them. How important were those dreams when you were writing? Because you said you had a dream, it's like it was a story being told each night as you went to bed, like a continuation of this dream, and I think that's very significant. So how important was that dream that you had in involving your writing your first book?
Well, you know what? It actually, my first book that I published was Secrets, but at those initial dreams, I tried to write a book that was related to them. I never published that book. At some point, I will go back, I think, and publish that book. But, you know, that wasn't really what pointed me to, or kind of got me to the place where I wrote the first book. The first book I actually published really was because God gave me that book on the beach that day after I asked what I was supposed to be doing with my time.
I think that's significant, because sometimes when you have your life path set out for you and then something happens and now suddenly you our foundation is gone, we still have to trust that God is going to give us what we need to continue on, that he has it for a greater purpose. And I think writing is a wonderful, wonderful honor to be called to. I totally think when you can write and use words and paint with words, I think it's beautiful. I think it's a reflection of God's love for us, that he loves the written word and he gives some of us the ability to write. I love that you mentioned that. Now, another thing you mentioned too was that you've always been an avid reader and that readers are writers. And so this is a question I've asked off and on throughout the show. Do you think writers are born or are writers bred? What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know. I've never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I think obviously over time we become better writers.
Right.
Our writing gift is matured over time. But whether writers are born, I don't know. That's a very good question. I've never thought about that.
I've always thought that writers are born myself because I think it's a natural gift that's within you that you can hone it and stuff like that. But I think you do have to have that talent within you. I don't think it can be taught. I think you have to have it in you. But I could be wrong. I'm always open for correction, that's for sure. Now, I want to get into the type of fiction that you write. So go ahead. I know you write some Christian fiction, but how would you really describe your books that you write? How would you describe the genre you write in?
Well, I believe I do write Christian fiction, but mm-hmm. I like to say I kind of write Christian fiction with a little bit of an edge. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Christian fiction writer who's very preachy and that kind of thing. I kind of feel like I write to people who would not ordinarily read Christian fiction because mm-hmm. sometimes Christian fiction does have a stigma attached to it to those who don't really have a leaning that way. But I'm finding that I'm reaching a lot of people who don't have that foundation, that Christian foundation, and they're mm-hmm. finding that they do have they get an understanding. It does kind of lead them back to where they maybe once were mm-hmm. in God. And so, you know, I kind of think it's kind of like on the edge. It's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, the pure Christian fiction like maybe some people would think.
Right.
That's how I kind of describe what I write. So I've been battling, actually, with how I label myself as a writer and how I label what I write because I don't want people to shy away from it because they think it's going to be one way when it really isn't.
I totally understand that dilemma that you have because I've always said, are you a writer who's Christian or are you a Christian writer? You know what I mean? And so I totally understand that dilemma. And I like the fact when we also kind of tiptoe those edges with the edgy Christian fiction. I'm a huge proponent of that. I've had dozens of edgy Christian fiction writers on my show. So I totally feel that where you're coming from. I totally understand where you're coming from. And we're going to get into your book in just a few moments, but one of the things I want to talk about is this idea of a real wife and a make-believe wife. So without giving us any hints of the book that we're going to talk about on the other side of our break, in your mind or in your thoughts, what do you mean by a real wife? What do you mean by a make-believe wife? Kind of give us just a little hint what's going on in make-believe.
Well, let's just say that this is not a fantasy book. This is not a you know, that kind of a thing. But in some people's minds, there are people who operate as a wife. And I'm not talking about from the biblical, the sexual kind of perspective, but let's just say that there are those who have an idea about who their wife is, regardless what that person's marital status is or not. It's really difficult to do without giving away too much about the book, but I'll put it that way.
Oh, I love that. But I love that how you phrased it. They operate as a wife. And you can operate machinery. You can operate a manual or a program or stuff like that, but is that really the essence of a person? So I want to get to that in just a few moments. And we are talking today to Darlis Batchelor. She is the author of a new release, The Make Believe Wives. It's available now on Amazon.com. Let me tell you what you want to do. You want to go ahead and get a copy of this book today. Darlis is a very wonderful writer. You're going to enjoy Make Believe Wives. You're going to love the twists and turns that's involved with it. You are going to love it. So go ahead, love my sister today, and get a copy of The Make Believe Wives today. If you want to call in and weigh in, you certainly can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. Again, so glad you're here with me. We are talking to author Darlis Batchelor. She is the author of the new book, The Make Believe Wives. Go ahead and get a copy of this book today. You won't be disappointed. And Darlis, thank you again for being with me on the show. I'm so excited to delve into The Make Believe Wives, and I want to talk about it so I can get our audience just salivating to get into this book because it sounds so good. And just for those of you who are listening in, it's a story that basically says this. The blurb says, Janae and Evan have it all, a beautiful home, a loving marriage, and three wonderful daughters. However, Janae feels she's missing something from this perfect picture. Let's stop there. And I want to kind of go into something here, Darlis, because I know sometimes in marriages, you can fall into a rut. I know you can fall into a rut. You can fall into a routine. You can fall into a lifestyle that, although content, does not satisfy you. And so is that something that happens to Janae and Evan as they live this life there? Is that something that happens to them?
Yes, it does. It does. Janae is a young mother. She's, at the time of the story, she's in her mid-20s, and she's been a wife and a mother since the day almost that she graduated from high school. So it is something that she has kind of, you know, this has been her life, you know, for most of her adult life. And, yeah, she does fall into a little bit of a rut. And Evan, you know, he kind of gets accustomed to her being in that rut. So he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that because I'm in my 30s. And believe me, I think I'm ready to have a kid. But I could imagine being married and having kids as soon as I left high school. I know back in the day, that was something everybody did. They got married, got their high school education, got married, had kids right away. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm now ready to have kids. You know, you know what I mean? I'm now ready to have kids. But I've worked, I've done different things, I've did a lot of different things to get that. So just this is kind of a tangent comment, just in your own opinion. Do you think people should just go off and get married right when they get out of high school, or when they feel like they're ready, when they're 18 years old, or should they just wait until they've done things? What do you think? This is personal opinion, no right or wrong answer. What do you think about that?
Well, I kind of believe it depends on the person,
mm-hmm.
but in general, I think that we do need a little bit of time to breathe,
right.
you know, after high school, because our lives are so orchestrated up to that point. You know, that is just what we do. We go to school,
mm-hmm.
and we may be allowed to work a part-time job or something like that, but our lives are so orchestrated up to that point. So I think that after that, you kind of need a little bit of time to breathe, even if you do go on to college or you go to work or you maybe go to the military. I think there's just a period of time that people do need to have just to kind of breathe and figure out who they are. Because
mm-hmm.
it's so difficult when you get into a marriage that quickly and you don't know who you are. You don't know what you like. You don't know how to you're not maybe not disciplined, and maybe you're not, you know, sure about, you know, a lot of things. But, you know, I just think that there should be a little period of time. But that's generally because I do feel like there are those who have, you know, are able to make that transition very easily and be successful at it.
I was remembering when I was about to get married, Darla, so you may find this humorous. I was about to get married. And the night before, I was all excited. And then we were at the rehearsal dinner. We were at the rehearsal before at the church. And literally, I was not nervous until I stood next to my husband. At the time, he wasn't, but he was about to see my husband the next day. And literally, the fear draped over me like a cold, icy blanket. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I could get married right now. And I had the coldest feet ever. I couldn't sleep that night. I had my girlfriends with me at the hotel. I couldn't sleep at night, everything. And I was in my late 20s when that happened. So it was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine this doing it at 18. But I kind of knew who I was then. So imagine having that on top of your own nerves and stuff like that. Because when you get married, it's a huge commitment. It's not like you're sitting there going, we're going to play at marriage. No, you want to commit to that. Do you think, like nowadays with how divorces is so rampant in the church and out of the church, do you think it's because people don't really understand that marriage is a commitment, that it's a growing process? Or do you think they just want happily ever after forever?
I think our society has taught us that so many things are just disposable. They're disposable. I think that, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, there was once a time where divorce, separation, that kind of thing, you just didn't do it. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's never a time when that's not a good option, because obviously
mm-hmm.
there are times when that is. But
right.
I just don't think people have the same mindset about it. They think, you know, well, we are in this say yes to the dress generation. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people want the wedding, but they really don't realize what comes after. And there's no way to know without having been married. But, you know, I just think we just have a different mindset today, and that, you know, we just don't, I won't say we don't value it, but we just think, well, if it doesn't work, we'll just get out. And that's what we do.
We're talking to Darlis Batchelor. She's the author of The Make-Believe Wives, available on Amazon.com. If you want to weigh in, you certainly can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Darlis, you know, you have this interesting tale of a woman who's been married for a while, and then all of a sudden she needs time to herself. She needs to regain her perspective. So what starts to happen is that, and this is all in the blur, so I'm not giving anything away. So what happens is the children's babysitter comes in to help, and all of a sudden she's thrown into like a love triangle with her employer. So let me ask you this, and this is just a personal opinion. Do you think if you're going to have outside help in your household, whether it's childcare, cleaning care, office assistance, stuff like that, do you think the person you should hire should be the same age as yourself? Should they should just focus on just the requirements needed for the job, no matter what they look like? I mean, are you inviting in temptation when the person is the same age as a person who's a single person or a person looking for a love or whatever? are you inviting trouble in when people do that? And just your own opinion, what do you think?
Not necessarily. I don't think that's
okay.
Necessarily. I think people need to know themselves and what their where they are, what type, you know, if you're a person who, if you're married and you're a person who is easily tempted, and you know that,
right,
then it's not a wise decision to bring that temptation into your home. And so, I mean, things happen in this particular story, but I think that you got to know where your limits are. And so before you allow someone else into, you know, your home, your business, or anything like that.
Right. I was thinking particularly just in your home, because we're not talking about business-wise. Business-wise, I don't care how you look. As long as you can do the job, you can do the job. That's not
right.
Important, you know. But I was thinking, especially if you're in your home, that's a little different because that's your sanctuary. That's your intimate area you have with your family and stuff like that. So I was just wondering, some people may say, well, I would never hire someone who's going to take care of my kids who's, I don't know, younger than 60 or something like that, you know. Who knows? But I thought that was a
right.
fun question. Now, let us know, how did you get the idea for Make-Believe Wives?
You know, I believe it came about because I had a friend of mine who, she had lost track of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been decades since she'd seen this person. And when she finally did come back in contact with the person, it was obvious that the relationship had changed a lot. And so I kind of took that and asked the what if question. You know, what if this scenario happened? And I kind of Darla-sized it, and I came up with the make-believe wives.
So when you are creating the characters and you're getting deep into their lives, into their psyche, which one do you think reflects you, or which one thinks, well, you know, if I was her, I would have did this, or if I was him, I would have did that? Which character do you think really reflects you?
Oh, let's see. Which one of these particular characters?
Well, yeah, in your book, because I know sometimes, I think every author, you can expand on this too, I think every author puts some of themselves in every book. In some way, there's something of yourself in every book, you know what I mean? So do any of these characters reflect you? Or if they don't reflect you, which is your favorite one that you love to love or your favorite one you love to hate? So which one is it?
Well, you know what? I do believe that there's a piece of every author in what they write. I don't think it's possible for something to come through you and there's none of you in it. I do believe that. But for whatever reason, I don't really see myself as identifying with any of these characters in particular. However, mm-hmm. I do like Faith. And I like her because she's kind of like a little bit of an innocent. You know, she really doesn't come into this thing with the idea that she's going to develop a relationship with anyone. You know, there's a little bit of a twist on what her private life is. But I really kind of, I like Faith. And the story ends really well for Faith. I'll say that.
Oh, that's good. Well, we get some kind of closure. I can't wait for our listeners to get a copy of this book. Like I said, you're going to love the Make-Believe Wives. And we're talking to Darla Spatchler. She's the author of this book. Let me tell you, it just dropped, I think a couple of days ago, it just dropped. So you want to go ahead and get a copy of this newest release from Darla Spatchler, the Make-Believe Wives, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And you will not be disappointed. So go ahead, love on my sister today, and you won't be disappointed. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break, and when we come back, more Darla and Me.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen.
Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. I am so excited you are here with me as we talk to author Darlis Batchelor, author of the new release, The Make Believe Wise, available today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, it's been so fun just delving into The Make Believe Wise. And I love, Darlis, how you have this very unique idea. And it's, of course, this astounding title. I think I said that for you when you did a book chat recently with Moody Publicity.
Tyrora.
And yeah, with Tyrora. And you did a chat there. I just love the title of this. So go ahead. How'd you get the title for this again? Let's let our listeners know.
Well, initially I wanted a different title. And I looked and I did a little research and I found out a lot of different people were using the other title that I wanted. And I always like to try to be as unique as possible. Because of the scenario that's in the book, and I switched to the Make Believe Wise as opposed to the title that I initially wanted.
So you think a good practice for authors is to see, while you're getting ready to name your book or your manuscript, to see what's out there and see what you can do that's differently from others?
I do, because sometimes a title, you know, it really sounds good to us, and it may really be a good title. But if you look and you see there's a lot of books that are already using that title, and perhaps that those books are not in the genre that you write in, or let's say, you know, as a Christian fiction writer, you don't want to name your book something if there's a lot of maybe erotica type of, you know, books that that are using that title. So I do think it's a good idea, and I think it's a good idea also so that you can kind of separate yourself so that you don't kind of get lost in the shuffle, so to speak.
You know, you make a good point there. I remember I saw a book, I don't know how I got on my Amazon recommends, I saw this book, and I know this is not a book I would read because the title was very misleading. It was extremely misleading. 5-star review. So I looked at the book like, I don't read this stuff. Where did this come from? And the person who gave it a low review was like, not what I expected. I thought this was erotica, not Christian fiction, you know. I said, that poor woman, you know, because it was a young lady who wrote the book. But they were like, it was a good book, but that's not what they wanted to read. And I think we got to be honest in our titles, too. I mean, you don't have to you know, say, oh, this is a Christian book that has no sex, no language, no this. You had to do all that. But at least be honest with some of that stuff, because when you heard the title of the book, the first thing you thought was erotica. There was no way possibly you would have thought that. And I'm looking like, well, why would I get this book? I remember thinking that. I don't read that. So it's kind of funny. It was a shock to me, too. I was like, oh, this is a Christian book? I wouldn't have known. You know, so I like how you say that. So I want to kind of get into your writing process. I want people to know, you know, because this show is all about encouraging writers to write. And so what does your process look like when you got that idea, you're ready to get started? How long does it take you to write your manuscript from start to finish? And we talk like the first draft, not your polished draft.
You know, it's really It's difficult for me to tell because of the way that I write. I get a lot of ideas. Like right now, I probably have about maybe four or five different books that are just in various stages of completion. So, you know, I might get an idea about this particular book, and I'll go and I'll write that down, and then, you know, I won't focus on that that book necessarily, and then I might go back to the project that I am focusing on, and, you know, so I'm kind of back and forth, so I don't really know cumulatively how long it really takes me to get a rough draft done because I'm kind of dipping in and out, you know, over, you know, months or maybe even years. So it's difficult for me to tell how long it takes for me to get a first draft done.
Okay, so you're like a pantser. So basically, you kind of see. Do you write by the seat of your pants, or do you plot and outline? How do you do that?
You know, I am getting to the place where I am more of a plotter and an outliner, but it's still really, really loose for me. But if I had to define myself as one or the other, I would say I'm a pantser.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I totally understand that. I find myself like that too, because when I first started writing, I was always on the flow, whatever the energy hit, and when I got that idea and I got the inspiration, I wrote. And then 3 or 4 weeks would go by before you pick up again. Now I see the advantage of, like you said, a loose outline, just an advantage, so you have some idea of where you're going, so you can get the books done faster, especially as you get more fans, darlings, and your fans are like, when's the next one coming out, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I heard about a author, I forgot her name, but as an author, she writes about 2 books a month. And I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine how I write 2 books a month. But it's just fantastic that they can do that, that people have that discipline, you know. And so you can do it. I'm not saying every author has to write 2 books a month. You know, I just admire people who have that kind of stamina to do that. But as long as you have somewhere to go, let's not completely throw out the outline. I used to hate outlining, darlings. I used to hate it. I felt like, oh my gosh, outline. If I outline this book, I won't let the book tell itself. It won't unroll naturally and things of that nature. But now it's like, you know, you got to tell the muse to be here at 6 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to tell her, I'm not waiting for you to come. We're going to make an appointment. We're going to get this done, you know? So I like that. And so what is some of the, if you had to give a resource or a technique or something like that to help our listeners out there, what is the resource or technique that you use that aids in your writing?
A technique. I'm not understanding what you're asking me.
So, like, some people, I know one author uses Pinterest. Like, if she's getting ideas for stories or stuff like that, or creatures, or how this person looks, she uses Pinterest. So she takes a picture offline, and, you know, she'll put that in a little Pinterest box, and so she'll have her idea. Or some people, when they do research and stuff like that, they go online, they talk to people. So what is, like, a technique that you use with your manuscripts? Do you do your research first? Do you get inspiration from looking online at different pictures? Just something that gives us a technique for how you get your manuscript done.
I have begun doing, like, what I would call a collage, you know, because I have images of, in my mind, of what the characters look like. And so I do kind of try to get pictures or find pictures of people that closely resemble what I have in my mind in terms of the way the characters look. I do research. I'm doing a lot of research right now for the next few books that I'm working on. They're all kind of marriage-based. And so I'm doing a lot of research on the different themes that I want to explore in those books. You know, things like being able to have children or get pregnant, you know, those kind of things. So I'm doing a lot of research on those types of issues. So I would say at this point I do kind of create a collage so that I know what the appearance of the person is, and kind of a little bit about their personality. I'm learning to do a lot of character interviews. I call them character dates, where I'm sitting and I'm really thinking, how would my character react in this situation? You know, how would they act? How do they respond? What kind of questions do I need them to answer so that I know who they are, so that I know how they're going to move and operate in the manuscript? And then I do a little bit of research on location. Not a whole lot, because I'm kind of doing setting most of these books in my, you know, area, you know, so that I'm already familiar with it. So I do. I would say most of what I do now, you know, at first is the research on the characters, the area, and the themes that are going to be discussed in the book.
I find it fascinating that you said character dates. I think that's a really good technique to utilize, especially for newbie writers who are trying to really get inside their characters and really learn character development and how that character progresses through the story. Because you don't have that character development, then how can you invite the reader to be engaged with this character? How do they care about it? You know? And so I think that's really good that you have a date with your character. I know as I get more seasoned in craft, those are the type of questions I want to ask myself. How would she respond? How would he respond? If you threw her over a cliff, would she, you know, grapple at the edge, or would she get her handy hook that she could throw up in the air and catch onto the cliff there, you know? So I like that idea of character dates. So our listeners out there who are aspiring writers, try and have a date with your character. Sit down there. Ask some questions. I bet you ask some questions like, when is your birthday? You know, for those of you, and I'm not into the zodiac or anything, but if you have that in your story, you know, what's your sign or something like that, you can definitely do those type of tricks too. So I'm glad that you shared it, Darlis. I think I want to actually probably incorporate into my own writing because I like the idea of having a date with your character. I love that idea. So thank you for sharing that. Now, people who have picked up Make Believe, how have they responded to the book so far? What have been some of your initial reviews so far?
Well, you know what? I haven't gotten any reviews yet. I had some people who were like beta readers who gave me some insight. And, you know, they say it's a good story, that they really enjoyed it, and that it was engrossing. So other than that, I haven't heard anything yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
And that's why I'm encouraging all our listeners out there today to go ahead and pick up a copy of The Make-Believe Wives. You're going to love it. It's going to be a great story. So go ahead, get your copy of Make-Believe Wives today. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Darlis in our final segment. So if you have a question or a comment, you certainly can weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Have you dreamed about writing a book but didn't know how to start? Or are you an established author who's looking to grow in your career? There's a brand new opportunity for writers of all genres to come together for training, fellowship, connections, and fun. Join us this summer, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Southern California for the SoCal Christian Writers Conference. you can register for 1, 2, or all 3 days. Each day is packed with instruction and opportunities to progress in your writing expertise and career. This conference offers a stellar lineup of faculty along with continuing education sessions for every genre, from fiction to nonfiction, music to screenplays, and so much more. There's even a track for teens. Plan your family vacation around this conference. Register in February and you can bring a friend for half price. For more information, visit SoCalCWC.com. Come for the conference and stay for the fun.
We're back and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5 again. So glad you are here with me. We were talking to the wonderful Darlis Batchelor. She is the author of the new book, The Make Believe Wise. And let me tell you, you want to get a copy of this book today, right now. Don't wait. Go on Amazon.com and get your copy of the book. You're not going to be disappointed. You're going to absolutely love this book. Darlis, why don't you thank you for being with us on the show and just helping us and letting us delve behind the veil of who Darlis Batchelor is. And I want people to know more about who Darlis Batchelor is through your writing. So what are some of the other books that you have out right now?
Oh, well, my first book, Secrets, it's my first book, baby. It's a novel. And really the tagline for that book should be Secrets Are Never Invisible. It's about a church family who, there's a lot of secrets that are held, and it affects how the body operates and how they mm-hmm. view each other. And, you know, we're questioning why is a person acting this way and why is a person acting that way. And what I really want to encourage people to do after reading the book is to stop to think about, you know, what is going on behind the scenes. There's always a reason for why people act the way they do. And, you know, maybe to kind of give people a little bit of a pass and just be a little bit more compassionate, especially as Christian people, to just be a little bit more compassionate towards one another and to say, you know what, this person may be dealing with an issue that I'm unaware of, but, you know, I'm going to give them a pass and I'm going to really try to pray for them and just hope that whatever it is that's bothering them and causing them to act the way they are, that, you know, those issues would be resolved for them. My second book is called Hell is a Skyscraper, a trio of novelettes. There are three stories in that book, and they're really unrelated. But there is one story in there that is called Dimitri's Diary, that there is a character in that story, her name is Neely. And in that story, Neely is, like, really mean. She's downright abusive. And people wanted to know, why is Neely that way? And so I wrote a third book called Something Else to Want that kind of goes back into Neely's backstory and explains why she is the way she is in that story. And I really, that's one of my favorites. I mean, of the four books that I'm written, that's really one of my favorites because you find out what is at the root of Neely's problem. And I'm going to write a third book about Neely, and it's going to be about Neely finally finding love for her life. I'm really kind of excited about that one. So those are the three books I've written, and we'll see what happens next.
I love it when we fall in love with our characters, don't you, Darlis? They are, I know they're printed in black and white, but let me tell you, they are so real to us. And when readers contact us and say, you know what is wrong with Neely? Why is she so mean? You know, and that means that you've done something that every writer wants to do, and that is you have created this person who really doesn't exist, but really does exist. And so many people, they hate her, they love her, but they know she's real. And I think that is a nice part about being a author. I know for myself, I had a reader say, you know, I think I know these people. She was like, I expect to watch to walk them in the middle of the street, because my books take place, well, we both live in Michigan, and my book takes place in like West Bloomfield, Bloomfield Hills, Rochester Hills, the kind of more affluent areas in Michigan. And the one reader said, I almost expected us running to these people, you know, like they're right there at the store. And I love when we accomplish that, and I can't wait to see how Neely does. And isn't it great how, because of that reader feedback from Neely, you are able to give her life? more life than just, oh, she's a mean person. Oh, now she has a past. And you know what? She's going to find her HEA, her happily ever after. We don't know how she's going to find it, but she's going to find it. I think that's why writers love what we do. We get to really engage our readers and those people who read books, and we create those worlds for them. And that's why I think being a writer is such a God-given honor, because, you know, God used spoken world to create. You know, he said, let there be, and there was, you know. And the same very minute way, not the same way, but a very minute way, we also do the same thing. What do you think about that, Darlis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I loosely joke about it, you know, and, you know, when I'm writing and I'll stop and I'll say, you know what, that was good. I can't believe God's going to let me put my name on that. You know, I can't believe you're going to do that, because that did not come from me. You know, so I think it's a good point that you made.
I totally agree. Sometimes, especially when you have that moment of brilliance, you know, every author has had it where you go, this, no one else can write this good, just like I just wrote right now. You know what I mean? Like, no one else can do this. This is the best thing ever. And we all have those moments of brilliance. I think it's just such an honor that God gives us that ability to do that. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, Darlis, where can they find you online?
Well, I do have a website, www.darlisbatchel.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/booksbydarlis. And those are pretty much the two ways that you can catch up with me in particular.
Darlis, this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. That God gave them that ability to write and to pick up the pen and do that. So in the last few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors out there who haven't done that to go ahead and do that.
You have to do it. You have to do it. A good friend told me, while I was in the process of writing my first book, you know, it took me 10 years to write that book, but it wasn't because I wrote every day and, you know, I only wrote one word a day. It wasn't that. There were months and weeks that I didn't write. But a good friend told me, she said, Darlis, if God gave that book to you, it is your responsibility to birth that book into the earth. And so that kind of shifted it from hobby to a mandate, something that gave me a little bit more motivation. And I began to understand that it wasn't necessarily just so that I could say I'd written a book, but there is an audience of people that are waiting that need to read whatever it is that God has given us to write. And so if for no other reason than to service them, I think we have to do the writing. We have to find a way to make it happen. And I know that life happens and things come, that we have hindrances, but if we have it in our minds that we have to do it, that, you know, not because I'm not making it a bad thing, because I think we should enjoy the process, but it's something that we have to do, and that there are people that are needing it and people that are wanting it and people that are waiting for it, and it gives us a little bit more motivation to do it. That's what I think. We have to do.
Darlis, I can't think of a better way to end the show. I like how you said it's not just a hobby, it's a mandate, because God gave you that story. And if you don't do what God tells you to do with it, then you're being disobedient. And we know that we shouldn't obey our Father. You know, we know we shouldn't do it. And I like how you said it took you 10 years for your first book, because I also, it took me 10 years for my first book that I wrote. I feel you on that. It took me 10 years to write. And then once you get it out there, and then I tell you, the greatest motivator for any author is to get that book out there, get it published, and then the person who doesn't know who you are from Adam, they don't know who you are, they say, oh, my gosh, this is such a great book. And you get that kind of feedback, it will change your life. I totally believe it'll change your life, you know, and you'll be like, oh, well, if she liked, whoever this person is, they liked it, so someone else might like it, and that really helps invigorate you. Darlis, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. It has been absolutely wonderful having you on the show, and I cannot wait to have you back real soon.
Thank you. I would love to.
And we were talking today to Darlis Batchelor. She is the author of the new book, The Make-Believe Wise. It's available on Amazon.com right now. today. We've talked a little bit about it, but you know what? You want to get a copy of this book. You know why? Because there's going to be twists and turns you didn't see coming. You're going to wonder how it's going to end, everything. So go ahead, get the Make-Believe Wives today, and maybe you can find out, are you a real wife or are you a make-believe wife? Or for our husbands out there, are you a real husband or a make-believe husband? You know. And so I'm looking forward to getting your response from Darla's book. So go ahead and get a copy of that today. When you get a copy of that book, make sure you leave a review. Authors love reviews. It helps us breathe at night. We can sleep. And then we also appreciate the feedback because you can help us become better writers too. So make sure that when you get a copy of the Make-Believe Wives, get a copy, leave a review, and let her know what you thought about it. And one thing that Darla said that I want to reiterate was that if God's giving you that ability to write, it's not just a hobby anymore, it's a mandate. And definitely use the gift that God gave you and go ahead and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.